Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Lord, I know.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God has left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It is fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you have any idea what goes through your rector's mind when he's getting ready to preach? First of all, preparation for Sunday's sermon begins on Monday. Reading the appointed scripture, examining commentaries, and praying. And once in a while, almost dreading it. That's the way it started this week. I always wince when these scriptures come around. In Mark's gospel, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. No divorce, no remarriage. Now, some of you sitting here this morning are divorced. Some of you are remarried. And I can sense the discomfort that many divorced people feel when they hear these words in church, or the sting it can cause when someone is happily remarried. So the temptation for me is always to find something else to preach on. I looked back to what I did 3 years ago when these lessons came around, and I preached on stewardship. But today, let's deal with the scripture that's given to us. From the beginning, this passage has been a hard passage for the church. One way of living with the words of Scripture is to accept them simply and live by them obediently. I think there's something reassuring about resting in the conviction, "Jesus said it," or "the Bible says it, I believe it, and that's it." But most of us are engaged in understanding what a passage meant back then, and wrestling with how to apply it now. First of all, I think we need to understand that divorce in the first century was generally accepted. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy assumes divorce will occur and gives procedures for carrying it out. In today's text, the Pharisees who ask Jesus about divorce do so to test him. So this is a confrontational situation between legalists and Jesus. But Jesus turns the conversation away from the legal foundation for divorce to God's design for marriage. Jesus says, in effect, that marriage is a strong and unifying bond between two people. And because he sees marriage as this strong bond, he speaks against divorce. Remember that marriage in the ancient world was primarily about economics. And that's a far cry from our society's viewpoint. For us, marriage is less about economics and more about people seeking mutual fulfillment. Today, we rarely think of divorce as a sin. But that's what we hear in this passage. Jesus said, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Thus, if you divorce, you are breaking the seventh commandment." Let's make this clear. God did not intend marriage to end in divorce. God knows our weaknesses, our blindness, our sinfulness, and knows that sometimes divorce is necessary. No one wants divorce. But even in the midst of that kind of trauma, we find a God of grace. In his holy love, God forgives sin. Even the sin of divorce, though it is the tearing apart of what God has united, even that can be forgiven. So what Jesus is addressing is relationship. The relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children. Jesus knows the damage and the pain that broken relationships cause, not only to the spouses, but to children who are often left vulnerable. And for that reason alone, Jesus was not about to sanction divorce. Divorce causes too much pain. There are times, unfortunately, when divorce is the best option. But it always, always involves breaking relationships, and it is always, always hurtful and sinful. Now, some of you may remember a time when a divorced person could not be remarried in the Episcopal Church. When I was ordained a priest, that was the case. It wasn't until the 1970s, the mid-70s, that we began to accept the fact that a marriage could die and a new marriage entered into and could be blessed by God. And so we began to operate by grace rather than by law. We changed our policies largely as a result of our own divorced and remarried members. We saw the grace in their relationships. We saw the gifts of the Spirit shown in new families. After the death of a previous relationship, love had returned. And it was like moving from death to life. And we as a church discovered once again that God's grace is sufficient. Many of us watched the Pope's visit to the U.S. this past week. And if you're like me, what struck me the most the lasting impression of his visit was not his address to Congress or to the United Nations or the huge crowds at the papal masses. No, what I remember is the Pope blessing the children. Time and time again, babies and children were brought to Pope Francis, and he embraced them, he kissed them, he blessed them. And I think what people like most about this Bishop of Rome is his compassion, his humanity, his obvious love of people. He is embodying God's grace. Now, in this passage given to us this morning, when Jesus finished speaking to the Pharisees who wanted to argue with him about divorce, the very next thing he does is to take children into his arms, lay his hands on them, and bless them. And remember this, little children never live up to the rules. They always fail so selfishly. And so do we. And still, Jesus blesses them. I believe that what we see here in this passage from Mark is Jesus moving from law to grace. He transitioned from legalism to love. And that's what we see in his earthly ministry over and over again. When he was faced with the circumstances of real people, Jesus chose love and compassion over judgment and law. Let me repeat that. Jesus chose love and compassion over judgment and law. The prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the woman at the well, the 10 lepers, the demoniac, the tax collectors and prostitutes, the man born blind, the lost sheep, and the little children whom he blesses. At the beginning of this sermon, I said I began my preparation with a sense of dread. But let me tell you, I finish it with a sense of joy. Because in the process, I discovered once again the joy of God's grace as shown in the love and compassion of Christ. As Charles Wesley wrote in the hymn that we'll sing at the end of this Eucharist, "Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart." Let that be our prayer today. Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 358 in the Book of Common Prayer. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Peace be with you. Good morning. Just a couple of announcements this morning. First of all, at 4 o'clock on the front lawn, or if it's raining in the narthex, we'll have the blessing of pets. So bring all of your critters. I bless everything that has legs. As if you have a snake, we'll give a distant blessing. But it's at 4 o'clock. We encourage you to bring your pets. Bring them on a leash or crated. Thank you. This being the first Sunday, the loose offering is designated for the rector's discretionary fund, and the parish nurse is back here.
Also, because this is the first Sunday, we will have blood pressure checks in the room.
Blood pressure checks on your way to coffee. I think that works. Are there any other announcements? Yes.
Just want to remind everybody, I'm sure it's been in the newsletter. I personally didn't read it, so I don't know it's there, but I have faith. October 17th, mark your calendars, plan to be here at the church. We are having a work day, so we all notice things around the church that are in need of tender repairing. This is our opportunity to come together to do that. So, October 17th.
Thank you, sir. And the junior warden will have a list for us next Sunday, so we'll know what tools we need to bring. Are there any other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image, and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." And therefore we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we're bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.